great to lift up the name of Jesus. I love that meet and greet song. We lift up the name of Jesus. Okay, so glad you're here this morning. We're heading into the first week of the next month. Can you believe that? We're almost into February. It just seemed like Christmas was like a couple days ago, right? Well, maybe not for some of you. But we're starting a brand new series this month. But let's pray before we continue, okay? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for bringing every single one of us here this morning. And I thank you every time we meet, Lord, we're just not meeting with each other. The Holy Spirit is here. And Holy Spirit, you want to speak to us personally. Lord, you've got truth that you want to give us that would set us free. So help us to hear it, not just the ears of our natural understanding, but the ears of our heart. I pray that we'd be able to understand this word, receive this word, believe this word, put it into practice so that it blesses you, Lord, brings glory to your name, and it benefits us in a tremendous way. So we commit this time of being in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to take you right to the Old Testament. And the Old Testament, there's a tremendous book. If you haven't read it before, you should read it. It's called the Book of Daniel, right? It's the Book of Daniel. And it's about three men, three young guys who were friends, three friends. And they were living in this foreign land as captives in Babylon. Now, these three men were just not any ordinary men. They were recognized as leaders. They were leaders, administrators over the province. And they were very well respected by the king. But the land that they were living in was an idol-worshipping nation. And they were men of God serving God in an idol-worshipping nation. And they were doing well. They had no problems really living for God until the day that in the land there was a law that was passed. And the law was that everyone, after they heard this music, they would have this incredible band with all kinds of harps and lyres and zithers and all these instruments. And as soon as the music stopped, every single person had to literally bow down to this golden statue of the king. Right? Well, the three men get reported because they refused to bow down to the statue. Okay. The series title is of this series is Better Together. Can we say that together? Let's see that. It's two words. Better Together. And today we're going to focus on the message. I'm going to talk about having friends. Friends of faith. Now we know that God is good, right? God is so good. And God is a giver of good things. One of the greatest good things that God could give us, to give us a good life, full life, rich life, one of the greatest good things that God could give us is friends. Friends of faith. Okay? But point number one. Number one, we'll jump right into it. Not every friend is a friend of faith. Not every friend is a friend of faith. Now, it's been a long time since I gave my life to Christ, but I remember when I gave my life to Christ, almost the day I gave my life to Christ, my life started to change. I changed, and my lifestyle changed dramatically. Now, I had some friends, some good friends, and the problem with my friends was not that they weren't good friends, but they weren't believers in God. And they were my friends until I began to make a stand for God, for Jesus. And they didn't like it. They didn't like it when I started to go to church every Sunday, when I stopped going bar hopping with them every weekend. They didn't like the fact that I was a follower of Christ. They didn't want me to be a Christ follower. So the next point is this. There's a big difference between a friend and a friend of faith. People who aren't friends of faith are on a different path in life. Do you understand that? They're on a different path in life. Now, that doesn't make them bad people at all. It just means that they're not friends of faith. Now, let me say, make this point very clear on your PowerPoint. Every believer, every single believer today needs friends of faith. Of faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were friends of faith. And they supported one another in their convictions and in their lifestyle. In their passion to serve God, they served in their continuous faith to glorify God, you know, and every believer today needs friends of faith, right? And we need people in our lives that will stand with us, share our belief in God, that will support us. We need people who will encourage us to stand when it's not easy to stand. We need people to help us to stand strong in the faith when it's not easy to stand in faith. Amen? We need these people. You know, and maybe you're one of those guys that would come up to me and say, well, I just don't have friends like that. But if you tell me that, then here's what I'm going to tell you. Then it's time to find friends like that. Time to find friends just like. It's time to start befriending friends of faith constantly, continually, having friends of faith. If you're a man, if you're a guy here today and you don't have friends of faith, then it's time that you go and find some. Join our small group. We had 16, 17 guys in our small group last week. We're going to split them up. But they're, you know why they come? Because there's something about having a friend that's a friend of faith that makes a difference in their life. That's why they come. And if you're a mom and you don't have friends of faith, then join Kristen's Latte Moms, which meets every Monday morning at 9:30, and spend some time with moms who want God's will over their lives and over the kids' lives. Amen? Spend some time. I want to tell you that God is not finished sending friends into your life. And God's not finished using you to be a friend to someone else, right? It doesn't matter how old you are. If you're a young person, if you're a single, or a senior, start making friends, right? Come out of your comfort zone. Start making friends of faith, right? I want to tell you that friendships are a huge, huge part of what God wants to do in your life. Friendships matter in a huge way. Can I make it any clearer? Can I say it in any bigger way than that? Friendships of faith really make a difference in your life. Number two, the friends that God has for you won't come into your life unless you start befriending them. Good point. I don't have any friends. What do we tell you? Go and make some friends, right? Some people walk into church, and I see them coming into church, and they kind of look like this. They come through those doors, and they just make it. You know, and they look like this picture here. They look like the hotel doorknob with this sign hanging around their necks that's saying "Big Nick Star." No, "Do Not Disturb." No moleste. For early makeup service, call housekeeping. Maybe that's why they're not made up. Some people are like that, aren't they? They have this look on their face, "Do not disturb." And then they make a beeline to their seat when they come to those doors. As soon as the first service is over, they make a beeline out towards that door to get out of there. I don't know how many times that I've chased people I've seen, and I've tried to stop. I stop and say, "Oh, please, sorry for spitting on you." excuse me, it was just good to have you today. So good that you could have you today. I hope you come back. You know, and the reaction is, oh, yep, thanks, goodbye. And they're out the door. I want to tell you, if you're someone like that, then people aren't going to come to you to want to be your friend, right? See, it starts with you. It starts with you. Here's a great Proverbs 18:24, which says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, right? So whether you're an introvert, extrovert, whether you have one friend, five friends, 50 friends, if you want to have friends, you've got to be friendly, right? Friendly. I remember when we first pastored in Tabor, this is the first church we had. We were sent from this church and we started to develop this church. And most of the people that are in our church were Dutch people. Why? Because there's a lot of Dutch in Tabor, right? And the Dutch have this saying, if you're not Dutch, you're not much. You have that saying. Now, I want to tell you, I love Dutch people. Those are some of the finest people you ever meet. So I want to say that right away. But I looked at my church family. I thought sometimes there was too much Dutch here. Now, because I was the only minority non-white person there besides my friend. You know, I thought, where's the Japanese? You know, where's the, you know, and so when we moved and God sent us to Lethbridge to restart this church again, I thought, you know, I want a different church. I want a church like in the New Testament. All types of people, all flavors, right? I want Africans, I want Asians, I want South Americans, I want Native people, I want all types of people, right? I want old, young, and in between. God, I want to build a multi-ethnic, multi-generational church full of friends. Amen? Amen? And I look around and I say, you know what? We are better together. Amen? We are better. Can we say that together? We are better together. That's the church. You know, I think that's the church that God is building here, right here at City Light too. You know? Thank God you're not all like me, right? You know? Or like Alan, or, I mean, the Alan's a great guy, but I don't want a church full of Alans, right? I want a church full of Brents and Johns and Amys and all these different people. Wow, God's a God of variety, right? Every tribe, every nation, all kinds. So interesting, so detailed, so different, so exciting, so interesting, right? That's the church that God wants to build. We are so much better together. Number three, when God wants to do a work in your life, guess what? He will use other people, especially friends of faith, and usually somebody different than you, right? Every time you see personal growth in somebody, you know why? It's because God used another person. Every time you pray, God will usually use another person to answer your prayer, right? God uses people. Our goal is to follow Jesus Christ. God uses other people. The Christian life is all about following Christ on a journey of personal transformation. Did you get that? Our goal is to follow Jesus on a journey of personal growth and transformation. But we were never meant to make the journey alone. Besides, it's so much fun when you're with other people, isn't it? Right? So, God uses friendships. God uses friendships to shape us, to form us spiritually. That's what he does. So on your PowerPoint, this is so important because this means that friendships are as important to our spiritual growth as daily devotions and our weekly worship. Can I say that again? Friendships are as important to your spiritual growth as daily devotions, reading the word, prayer, doing all those things, and weekly worship, getting together as a church. That's how important it is. Friends of faith make life, a journey of faith to something that actually leads somewhere. You know what it leads to? To God and His purposes. Friends are powerful. You know, I look back in my life and I recognize some of the people that God purposely added to my life. And I see the difference they made in my life. They made my life so much better. But I can look back and I notice that some people that I allowed to come in my life that I needed to let go. And when they finally left, my life was way, way better. Right? So here's the thing. Some relationships are energy giving and some relationships are energy draining. Right? Some relationships that you may have may be toxic and you need to let some of those relationships go. Right? Through prayer, you know, get together, talk about it, talk to God about it. But some relationships aren't good. They'll wear you down. Right? Some relationships are life-giving and some relationships are life-sucking. I'll be honest. Some of the relationships I had in my life sucked. You know? They sucked me. You know? And I needed to get rid of those relationships. And when they left, my life was so much better. Right? Here's the thing that we need to realize, though. No matter what relationships, what you think about relationships, this is important on your PowerPoint. We need to understand that we need to recognize our need to be vulnerable in our relationships in order to be healthy, right? We need to be vulnerable. Some people, they said, I'm not going to have any more relationships. I'm not going to have any friends because I don't want to be hurt. That's not being vulnerable, right? Jesus had some amazing relationships, didn't he? Look at this verse in verse 26, 36 and 37. At one of the most desperate, most difficult times, just before he was going to the cross, dying for our sins, it says, then Jesus went with the disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Right? So he took three people with him, Peter, James, and John. He had people that he loved, and he literally poured himself into. But he also used these people to support him in his most difficult times. And we need both. We need people that we're pouring into, and we need people that are just that we can just take with us. Even the Son of God needed people, needed friends, close ones. Don't we need them too? Right? The enemy, I want to say this, the enemy wants to keep you. The enemy wants to keep you right where you are with the friends that you have. Right? Because if he can keep you in just your comfortable relationships, he can actually hold you back from the destiny that God has for you. Do you know that? The enemy wants to keep you just being comfortable, just being distant, just being aloof. Right? That's what the enemy wants to do. And God wants to take you and just wrap you in relationships, right? So I want to say this, whether you have many friends, few friends, or many relationships, just keep being open to the new friendships that God wants to put in your life. Right? Just keep being open. I say this, the moment or the day that you begin to close yourself off from the people and new people that God wants to bring into your life is the day that you close yourself off from the good things and the good future that God has for you. Amen? Friendships are that important. Life is about people and friendships. It's not just about Jesus. It's about the people that He brings into your life to walk this faith journey of life out with. Amen? So important. This thing called relationships. You know, so whether you have few, whether you have many, just keep being open because this next point, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Wow, isn't that a great scene? Show me your friends and show me your future. As Jim Rohn said, that you are, you will be the average of the five people who are closest to you. You will become the average. So of the five people who are closest to you, that you spend the most time with. So that's really good advice. Choose carefully. Amen? Choose carefully. Don't underestimate the power and the influence that your friends have for you, on you, whether good or whether bad. Right? We also need to recognize the power of relationships in your kids' life. You know, we have a lot of kids here in this church, and I love the kids. But we need to be always constantly aware of the influence that their friends have, their friends at school have, the friends in their neighborhood have on them, right? See, the challenge we have as a church is that we want our kids to serve Jesus, right? We want our kids to serve Jesus, and we want them to be with us, right? Because we know that the enemy has a plan, and that plan is to get them into the wrong relationships, right? So we need to do everything that we possibly can, right? To get them here, to get them to church, and to inspire them and get them mixing with friends of faith, right? We want to do everything that we possibly can to help connect kids to church, right? I know I've had this before. Well, my kids don't want to come to church. Or my kids, when they come to church, they just want to sit by me. They don't want to go into kids' church, right? Well, then if you say that, I would say to you, well, wait a minute, but your kids don't want to go to school either, do they? So you're the parent. You're the parent. We want to partner with you to raise your kids, right? Your kids need friends of faith. Because someone somewhere along the line is going to influence them. And you want to be the ones that influence them. We want to be the ones that influence them. Amen? Together, as a church body, as a church family, we can raise kids of faith for Jesus. I like Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, which says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. And that's true for any age. Right? Number four. Not everyone who is good to you is good for you. Not everyone who is good to you is always good for you. Right? A lot of relationships that people have are dysfunctional. Did you hear that word, dysfunctional? You know? And some relationships are codependent. You know, codependent. That means that they depend on each other. They share the same weakness rather than the same strength, right? And the very reason why they even get together is because of their weakness and not their strength. You know, give you an example. You got two women, and they're unhappy with their husbands. And that can happen easily, right, men? No. Amen. But you get these two women together, and if they're constantly talking about their unhappiness, you know what it does? It drives that unhappiness deeper into their lives, into their mindsets, right? So what do? You separate them. You get that one woman connected to some other woman who has a great marriage and loves her husband, and she's a friend of faith. And because she's a good friend of faith, she says she wants to help this woman in her marriage. So she'll get together with that woman and said, let's pray and let's believe God that he can turn your marriage around, right? That's what we want to have. We want to have friends like that. Proverbs chapter 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. We need people who are sharpen us, right? Proverbs 27 verse 9, perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt device, their earnest counsel, right? And I like this one, which is a good follow-up to that scripture. Proverbs 27 verse 6, faithful are the what? Wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Relationships are designed to strengthen us, not to weaken us. Number 5. Friends of faith will protect you. Friends of faith will protect you. Protect you from sin. Protect you from the slow drifting away from Jesus. It's a dilemma. I know, and I see it in so many Christians' lives. A slow drifting away from Jesus. You don't even know that you're drifting, but you just don't feel the same way about Jesus like you used to. You don't have that passion. You don't have that desire to come to church or connect with God's people in you. It's just a slow drifting away, which is so, so dangerous, right? So friends will help you. Friends of faith can protect you. We need friends of faith that will help protect us from failure and moral failure. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Dear brothers, if a Christian is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help him back onto the right path, remembering that the next time it might be one of you who is in the wrong." The term we use for this is accountability. Accountability. We need to have people in our life that speak the hard things to us. Do you have someone that speaks the hard things into your life? We need to have people in our lives that are not afraid to just point out areas of weakness in your life and then give you just honest advice on what to do. Well, I don't want to tell them the truth because I don't want to hurt them. I love them. That's baloney. You don't love them. You don't love them. Because if you really love them, you would tell them the truth to really help them. Amen? No. We don't have to be afraid about speaking the truth in love. Right? Ephesians chapter 4:15 says, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is Christ." That is Christ, right? You know, we have an enemy. We have an enemy called Satan. And if he can't get you to turn away from God, turn your back on God, you know what he'll do? The next thing he'll do is he'll try to isolate you. Just try to make you distant. Distant from the body, distant from your friends. And in doing that, he'll begin to tempt you. And when he begins to isolate you and he begins to tempt you, he's setting up to destroy you. Destroy your faith walk with Christ. Amen? And that's why I always say, you know, you need to have friends. Join a small group. Because the greatest thing that we can do to protect ourselves is to have friends of faith in our life who are not afraid to speak the truth into our lives. Amen? You know, I had a friend. Well, I want to tell you that I'm basically an introvert. That's hard to believe, I know, but I'm basically an introvert by nature. Introvert by nature. My wife Karen, she's not, right? So I understand what it's like to be shy, right? All my life, all I ever had just growing up was maybe I had one friend. Sometimes I never even had a friend some of those years, but at the most I remember having maybe two friends ever. Well, when I gave my life to Christ, I made a good friend. I found a guy at church, and he became my friend. I mean, he was really my friend. He was a friend of faith. And this guy, he wasn't afraid to just speak the truth into my life. And one time, he even threatened to beat me up. He said, "I'm going to beat you. I'm going to kick the out of you, right? Unless you change your bad attitudes." You know, and I know he was speaking that truth in love. He was the best friend. I want to tell you, he's the best friend I ever had in my life. And I've never had a friend like that. Never had a friend, another friend like that. I've had other friends. But sometimes they're so unique by this incredible oneness that you form with somebody. It's you know, it's Jonathan and David. You know, sometimes you don't understand that, you know. But I believe that God sends into your life at least one person that you can really connect to, right? So you know what the problem was? He left. After about 3 years, he moved away, got a job somewhere else. I want to tell you, I was devastated. Devastated. So you know what I said to God? God, you know, it's hard for me to make friends. But you know, God, I don't need any more friends. I mean, I got my wife, and she's my best friend, which is true, right? And besides that, I've got the Holy Spirit. I've got Jesus. Bible says Jesus is a friend. So So yeah, it's just me and Jesus, right, God? That's good, right, God? It's like God put his hand on a big buzzer and went, brr, brr. Wrong! Wrong! He got me involved in small groups, being a part of small groups, then he got me leading small groups, then he got me pastoring people and connecting with people. I want to tell you, God is not, I'll say this thing, God is not finished sending friends into your life, and he's not finished using you to be a friend to someone else. Amen? God's not finished. God wants to have you to have friends. Let's go back. Let's finish this story that we started up in Daniel chapter 3. Three friends in faith that refused to bow to the idol, right? They refused to bow. What was the consequence? If they refused to bow, it was death by fiery furnace, right? These three guys, without a doubt, were friends of faith. They were on the same page. And they faced huge, huge pressure. They were under huge pressure when they supported each other, right? So let's pick up the story in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. Goes this way. Follow along. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the name of the three Hebrew young men, replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, "We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing fire, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not," love that attitude, "but even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual, and he commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. And so these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing fire. The king's command was so urgent, and the furnace was so hot, that the flames of fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement, and he asked his advisors, "Weren't the three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty. So here's the king. He's watching from above, and he's saying, "Hey, wait a minute. How many did we actually throw in there? How many?" He says, "How many? I thought there were just three." Verse 25 says, and he said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods." Wow. And other versions would say, "The Son of God," capital S. We know who that is. Jesus. That's what we call an epiphany. Jesus, the King of Kings, lives in eternity, timelessness, steps out of eternity, steps into time, before his time, and he goes and he rescues these three young men. Wow. Wow, wow. Isn't that amazing? You know, I want to tell you this. You know what's so great about having friends of faith? Friends of faith are friends of faith because they'll be in the fire with you. Friends of faith are friends in the fire. Amen? I want to tell you, friends of faith can save your marriage. Friends of faith can save your life. If you invest with people of faith in your life, then their friendships will provide unbelievable support to bring hope, to bring comfort, to bring restoration, to bring healing into your life. If you have friends of faith, if you develop friends of faith, they'll be with you in the fire. And we need faith in the fire. We need faith in the fire. And if I'm going through a fiery trial in my life, I want friends of faith who know how to get a hold of God, who know how to storm the throne room of God with prayer and intercession and get on their knees and pray for me. That's the type of friends I need. Amen? And when you get together and you begin to pray and you pray in faith, God will hear your prayers. God will do miracles. He will work miracles. He will be with you. He will sustain you and he will strengthen you. Amen? I want to tell you, we are so much better together. Better together. We need friends of faith. That's the conclusion. We are better together. We accomplish more than you. We'll accomplish more than we can even dream or imagine if we stand alongside those who have the same faith and the passion we do. And they build us up. And we build each other up. Amen? So the question is, will you develop relationships, friendships, relationships with God and other people this year? Will you do that? Will you allow God to bring more people into your life? Like I said, maybe you have one friend. I want to tell you, one friend is not enough. If you have, maybe you have five friends is not enough. Maybe God wants to bring 50 friends into your life. 50 friends will make a difference in your future. Every friend can play a certain part in your development and in your walk with God. Amen? So let's not ever limit and say, I've got one friend, I got two, that's enough. God wants more in your life. Don't ever limit what God wants to do. Your future is wrapped up in your relationship that God wants to send in your life. Right? It's so clear. It's so clear to me that we are so much better together. Amen? So, will you question it? Will you seek out those friends? Will you allow God to bring those people into your life that will encourage you, strengthen you, right, and protect you? That's the question. Let's pray. Please bow your heads. As we bow our heads, this is the challenge. The challenge today is that we love God and we love people more. Right? Not to be isolated, not to be distant, aloof, but to get more friends of faith into our life. Right? And don't stop just at, like I said, one or two. Right? Whomever, whatever you want, God, help me be open to the new relationships you want to bring into my life. And not only bring into my life, but who can I be a friend of faith to someone else, to encourage them, to help them grow, to help in their journey and their walk, to comfort them, just to be a tremendous support just by being there sometimes. Who can I support? So be open to that, right? God, Father God, help us to be a friend of faith to someone. Help us to be open to new friendships of faith that you want to send into our lives. Help us to get connected, to get stronger to the friends of faith that you will send us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Just keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed, eyes closed. I want to just say something to maybe one or two of you, maybe a few of you here. Maybe you're here today and you feel that there's something really missing in your life. There's an emptiness. There's an empty feeling in your life. I want to tell you the reason why you feel that way. It's because you're apart from God. Right? Or maybe you once accepted God, Christ, into your heart, but you've kind of walked away from Him. You know, and God wants to fill that heart, your heart, with His presence once again. And with that, with the peace that only He can give you. So maybe if you're feeling that way, you've never connected with Jesus. God wants to connect you with Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. See, God offers us a life that's not barren and bleak, but abundant. And it all comes by receiving God into your life, by receiving Jesus. If you're here today, you've never accepted Christ. This is the biggest decision you will ever make. It'll affect your life here and now on earth, and it'll ripple and affect your life in eternity. When you die, you'll go to another place called heaven. But it all happens through Jesus Christ. So if that's you, I want to lead you in a prayer. It's called for the prayer of salvation. It's called the prayer of receiving Christ into your heart. So if that's you, you've never done this, I'm going to lead you into a simple prayer. You can pray this in your heart, pray this out loud. But repeat these words after me. Okay? Let's do this. Just say these words to God. Lord Jesus Christ, I confess that I'm a sinner. And I believe that you died on the cross to pay for all my sins. Please forgive me for every sin I've ever committed. Lord Jesus, I believe you. I believe that you died on the cross, and I also believe you rose from the dead. So today, I know that you're alive, and I invite you into my heart. I invite your spirit into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now, if you said that prayer for the very first time, I want you to just raise it high and say, Pastor, by raising your hand, I'll know that you said that prayer. Just raise your hand. I said that prayer. Right? Raise your hand. Where's the hand? There's a hand that went up. Okay, right there. I see that hand. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Raise your hand. Receive Christ. I see that hand. See that hand. I receive Christ into my heart. What an incredible decision. Anyone else? Raise your hand. I need Christ in my life. I want my life to change. I want my eternity to change. I want Jesus. What a tremendous Jesus difference Jesus makes in your heart. Anyone else? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. For those two young men who received Christ, we have a gift pack for you. Don't leave without talking to one of our ushers. You're on a brand new journey in your life. You're starting something brand new and fresh. Make sure that you stay connected, okay? Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for this day. In Jesus' name, all the good things that you're doing. Amen.